Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the 50th Psalm, Psalm 50. We wish to sing from Psalter 75, stanzas 1, 2, 4, 5, and 6. O Lord, to thee I cry, thou art my rock and trust. O be not silent, lest I die and slumber in the dust. 1, 2, and 4 through 6 of Psalter 75.
Before we read Psalm 50, we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 50, a psalm of Asaph. The mighty God, even the Lord, had spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion the perfection of beauty God had shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens from above, and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings that have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goats out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. But unto the wicked God said, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Seest thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him, and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou hast given thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I will reprove thee, and set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, Who shall be able to stand before thee? And when thou wouldst reprove us, and when thou wilt set all things in order before our eyes, for what man can rightly know thee, as thou art in thy glory, in thy great holiness, and all that thou requirest of us thou sayest in thy law? But we are they who have fallen so far away from thee, so that we have lost the knowledge of thee, of thy holy law. Oh, then we need to be taught by thee, and that thou may look upon each and every one of us, yet in this afternoon hour of the last Sabbath of this year, oh, that there may yet be a blessing in store for us, a little knowledge, a little true knowledge to be given unto our heart, that we may receive that knowledge of thee, that we may receive that true humility that does not lie in us by nature. But when we shall see thee by a little eye of faith, then our hearts truly shall be humbled, and then we shall become guilty before thee. Then we shall be given that ability to draw nigh unto thee, to come in the right way, to come in the right place, to come in the dust of self-abasement. Oh, we beseech thee that thou may so look upon us young and old, because we travel to a never-ending eternity. And our life that is as in hand breath, as soon as this year shall be finished, and then it shall become history, and then we will begin a new year, if thou wilt spare yet our lives. O Lord, then we are still in the time, but we go from the time into an eternity, all things here below full of change. In eternity there is no changing anymore. Then we can read in thy word, if the tree fall to the north or to the south, there it shall lie. Oh, that we may learn to hasten for the sake of our life. Cause thy word to receive a place in the hearts of young and old. And while we are still in this day of grace, remember thy people. We can read in thy word of truth, thou lettest them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city of habitation. But thou knowest that they cannot see that way, and they certainly so often cannot see that it is the right way. Then it seems so often that it is the wrong way. Then it is not the way that they would do it. Oh, that thou may lead them forth in that way. And could it please thee also to give them a little light upon that way, that they may be given to see thy hand in it, that they may be led to thee more and more, away from all that is vain and carnal, away from all that is soul-destroying, unto that one and only comfort in life and in death. Then it is necessary that they forsake the world and every former friend. Then it is necessary that an old man must be mortified more and more, and that he does not receive the wishes of his heart, and that he be disappointed, that that new man may flourish, that man that hungers and thirsts after thee, whose treasure is in heaven, that that people may long more and more to finish their course, that they may be given to feel more and more the burden of the body of sin and desire to be delivered from it. Oh, how necessary then that thou may give to them a sight of thee, that they may be given to know that they are not their own, but that they belong unto their faithful Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, how many can say this in their life? Then thou must say, O ye of little faith. But Lord, then they need to be led by thee. They need to be drawn upon that way. They need to be cut off from everything whereon they are seeking to stand, that they may be brought to the end of their life, and that they may be given to see wherein that new life lies. Oh, that thou may grant unto thy church to be led further by thee. Remember us in the bringing of thy word, and then how necessary it is for us as thy servants that we may come to know that way, that we may be taught by thee, that we may be instructed by thee in order that we may instruct and teach others. Lord, that thou may remember all that are not able to gather with us. Thou knowest their place in this day, and the reasons wherefore they are absent, and that their benches are empty. Oh, that thou may remember those that are sick. Wilt thou supply for all that cannot gather? And wilt thou draw the hearts also of those that might have no desire for what maketh us to differ? And that thou may look upon thy church over the length and breadth of this whole world, especially those that are persecuted for the sake of thy name. For Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Also in the days in which we live, and then it is not difficult for us to see how that those days, they are lying close at hand, wherein thou art going to loose his chain, so that that great tribulation that will be coming, and then who of us will be able to endure it? And then we cannot have but an outward religion, and we cannot have but a religion that is in the name alone. And then something must have taken place in our heart. Oh, that new life must have been born, because we cannot hold on to it ourselves. But thou art the preserver of thy people. Oh, that thou may look upon us then young and old, and that thou may grant unto us that true and living faith. Remember those who are persecuted. Supply for them also that bring thy word in such places. Wilt thou remember those who are deceived when Satan goes about also as an angel of light? For thou knowest also the destruction that he has brought in our lands. So that so many have taken hold of something, and by a faith for which we must fear, and that it is not that true and saving faith. O Lord, that thou thyself may undeceive those that are deceived, and when we are among them, oh, that thou wouldst stop us upon our way. Oh, that thou may remember all those that bring thy word. Increase their number. Those that are upon the mission fields, remember the nation of the Jews. The world gathers in so much enmity. Oh, there is still the beloved for the Father's sake. Oh, thou still hast a favor to show unto them. Oh, then they have denied thee, but they are able to be grafted in again. Oh, Lord, that thou may remember them in the days in which we live. And could it please thee to open their blind eyes, and that they may come to acknowledge thee, as thou hast given thyself in that manger in Bethlehem. Open their eyes as a guilty manslayer, and that they may be given to see that preciousness of thee, and that they may learn to flee for the sake of their lives. Wilt thou supply for our children? Remember them also in the week to come. Do spare each and every one of them from a sudden and an unprepared death. Remember those that mourn also for children elsewhere. Or a child taken away, we hear in other places. Oh, that thou may remember those mourning parents. And wilt thou grant us all together an eye to see that we are have no continuing city. Look upon us in this afternoon. We are called to bring thy word again. Lord, thou knowest all that we stand in need of. Help us once more. Strengthen us in our body. Give us clarity and simplicity in the speaking of thy word. And could it please thee that thy spirit may also accompany it with power. Do so, Lord, for the sake of thy great and thy holy name. For Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 386, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 7. O Lord, make haste to hear my cry. To thee I call, on thee rely. Incline to me a gracious ear, and when I call, in mercy hear. The last collection today is for the Bethesda Building Fund, Psalter 386, 1, 2, 3, and 7. beloved congregation, David in Psalm 65 has written, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee." Is that our estimation also? That man is blessed who is permitted to approach unto the Lord. If we see our first parents as they are going forth of that garden, then we must say that it is a wonder if there is any man who is chosen and who is caused to approach once again unto the Lord. By nature, we will not approach unto Him. We have made a choice. Our father Adam, he has made a choice not to approach, but that was a choice to depart. And when we are born in Adam, then we are no different from Adam. With our outward religion, we can come as close as that Pharisee, but there is no approaching unto the Lord. If the Lord will give us sufficient food and clothing and shelter and all the riches and all the goods which our heart desires in this world, which of our hearts would approach unto the Lord? Not one. No, if the Lord Himself does not cause a man to approach, then he will not approach. But David says, that man is blessed whom the Lord stops. That man is blessed whom the Lord crosses. That man is blessed whom the Lord withholds, in order that he may draw near unto him. Are we also so blessed? We wish to consider this out of Lord's Day 45. Questions 116 through 119. Lord's Day 45, questions 116 through 119, which is concerning prayer. And we see in the first place the necessity of prayer in question 116. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Answer, because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. In the second place, we see the requisites of prayer. That is question 117. What are the requisites of that prayer, which is acceptable to God and which He will hear? Answer, first, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word. For all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. Thirdly, and that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word. That is, the requisites of prayer. Third, the objects of prayer in question 118, what hath God commanded us to ask of Him? Answer, all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer He Himself has taught us. Question 119, what are the words of that prayer, which is our well-known Lord's Prayer? Thus we have prayer, first, the necessity, second, the requisites, and third, the objects of prayer. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us. Thus, it is not in order that we may make known unto God what our needs are, as if that we had to inform God of anything, and as if that He did not already know, before that we have begun to pray, what all of our needs are. And therefore, the Lord has also warned against vain repetition, that is, apparently the practice it was of the Pharisees, and that they would have many repetitions in their forms of prayer. But the Lord Jesus, He says that they thought that they would be heard for their much speaking. And He said to His disciples that they should therefore not be like unto them, because He said, your Father knoweth what ye have need of already before that ye ask Him. That does not mean, of course, that there is not some necessity that there be speaking in prayer. And then in a special way, we think also of public prayer, because then in public prayer, then it is necessary to lead others in prayer. And then it is not as if man, he is by that prayer drawing God down unto himself. That prayer that is not for the sake of the Lord, but it is that through that prayer, that man, he is drawn unto the Lord. Boys and girls, if you had fallen from a large ship, and there was a rope thrown to you, and you begin to pull on that rope, and then you will not pull that ship to you, but you will pull yourself to that ship. And so that is also in prayer. That speaking in prayer unto the Lord, that is not for the sake of the Lord, that we may inform Him for His knowledge. No, but that is for the sake of man. That man, in laying out his needs, even in that speaking in prayer, may have his heart drawn so unto the Lord. Prayer, that is the breath of the soul. Thus, when a man is dead, then he has no breath. And when the soul is dead, then that soul also has no breath. But as soon as that soul becomes alive, then that soul begins to breathe. And that soul is breathing out its prayer unto the Lord. Thus, there is no religion without prayer. Prayer that is sometimes also said to be the thermometer of that spiritual life, especially that secret prayer in the life of God's children, that has to do with the well-being of faith, that well-being of that life. And when that is not so well, then that inner chamber that is more and more left empty. Thus, prayer, that is the expression of that inward life. It is the expression of their humiliation. It is the expression of a godly sorrow. It is the expression of their needs, of their wants. It is the expression of what they are lacking. It is the expression of their gratitude. Thus, everything that is living in the heart of God's people that is expressed through prayer. Thus, when there is no prayer, then there is no expression of that life. And that you understand, that cannot be. Prayer, that is also the means of divine worship. There is no religion in the whole world, whether it be a true religion or a false religion, that is without prayer. Because in the heart of every natural creature, having an innate knowledge of God, then there is something that is attempting to go out unto that being that is higher than himself. Our fathers, they call prayer the chief part of thankfulness. Everything we have received from him. And thus, when we have received it from him, then man, he owes something unto the Lord in return for it. But what shall we give him? What can he receive? We have read it out of his word that he does not require bullocks, not the blood of goats. He cannot eat their flesh. He cannot drink their blood. Thus, what is it that the Lord, he is requiring of men after he has bestowed upon him all those gifts? Well, we read, offer unto God thanksgiving. That is something that the Lord only requires, that man is thankful. That the only thing that he is requiring is that he have gratitude in his heart. How shall he express that gratitude? It is true that there is one way to express gratitude. Do you know what that is, boys and girls? That is obedience. Because when we are not obedient, then it is very evident that we are also not thankful. But there are people in the world, they are called the deists, and they deny that God Himself has His hand of providence in the world and is directing everything to this moment. They say that the Lord, He has provided the world with that sufficient energy that it is able now to continue of itself, and that the Lord, He is not watching over it and does not have His hand in all the circumstances of this world for the sake of God's people. What must they then say concerning prayer? Because why then should they ask of the Lord this or that food and drink when the Lord, He is not guiding this all by His providence? And what do they say? Well, that gratitude that the Lord is requiring, that is simply and alone the gratitude of obedience. So man, by his virtuous life, he shows that gratitude, but he says it is not necessary for him to pray unto the Lord. But we say that gratitude, as significant as it is, and ingratitude as directly showing that as disobedience showing our ingratitude, yes, still, that prayer, that is that most natural direct homage that man is giving unto the Lord, boys and girls, then we say to you that the very least thing that is expected when we receive something is that we say thank you. And of course, that you are also showing your obedience. But when you will not say thank you, then you certainly do not show yourself to be filled with gratitude. Thus, without prayer, then our life that actually is amounting to nothing more than a practical atheism. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because it is the chief part of thankfulness which God requires of us, and also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. Thus, the Lord, He is connecting His blessings with the means by which those blessings are to be received. And our fathers, they speak here about His grace and His Holy Spirit. Thus, our fathers, they do not, it does not say this. It does not say, and also because God will give food and drink to those only who with sincere desires continually ask them of Him and are thankful for them. It does not say that. Why not? Because food and drink that is given to multitudes and multitudes of people in this world who never fold their hands and close their eyes and ask the Lord for them, nor are they thankful for them. Yet the Lord gives it to them. Over and over again. Why? He has his own purpose. And that is the gathering of his church. Because those wicked, they also must be upheld. Those tares, those bad fishes, they also must be given life in this world so that the world is able to continue and so that God's children, they may be gathered in. But they are receiving those gifts out of the left hand of the Lord. And every one of those gifts, they are one day going to testify against the wicked. Thus, what a long suffering. When the Lord, when man, he as it were is spitting in his face, and the Lord continues to load him with every blessing that he can receive in this world. And yet the Lord will have us to ask of him also that food and drink, and to acknowledge our dependence upon him for it. But our fathers, they speak here about his grace and spirit, that they say that that grace and that spirit of the Lord that is given to none but those that ask continually with sincere desires. Say, who is going to ever receive it then? Because who of us is now asking continually with sincere desires for the Holy Spirit, for the grace of the Lord? By Isaiah, the Lord says, I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. Thus, he says, they ask not for me, but now I am sought of them. Do you understand what that means, young people? They did not ask. Or maybe you say in your heart, I do not. I ask, yes, I ask in an outward way, but I feel it is not the asking of God's children, and I do not have it. I do not have it. Where is your hope for that? You say that is hopeless because I do not have it? No. Because the Lord, he says, I am sought of them that ask not for me. And the Lord, he is connecting for his children the spiritual blessings with the use of the means. Or when you do not have it rightly, go still on your knees. The Lord, he says that he will bring his people with weeping and with supplications. And he is connecting those two things, the blessings with the asking. Ask, he says, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. That is the connection. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. James, he says, draw nigh unto God. And he says, God will draw nigh unto you. That is not man that connects those things. That is the Lord himself. But how must we draw nigh? We see it in our second thought, the requisites of that prayer that is acceptable to him. What are the requisites of that prayer which is acceptable to God and which He will hear. Thus, not all prayer is acceptable to God. Not all prayer is heard by the Lord. The Lord said to Isaiah, He says, when they stretch forth their hands, I will not see them. I will hide mine eyes from them. And when they make many prayers, I will not hear. The Lord said to Jeremiah, pray thou not for this people, neither lift thou up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession for them, for I will not hear thee. Thus, there are requisites. There is prayer that is not heard. What are those requisites? First, that we from the heart pray to the one true God only, who hath manifested Himself in His Word, for all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. The first requisite, that we pray to the one true God only. That is, not to God and mammon. That is, not to multiple so-called gods. But that one true God only. That means that we pray to God as He is. That is, as He truly is, because God will be worshipped according to His true existence, who He really is. Why? Well, you and I, we can speak about each other, and we can say all the good things about one another. That is the way it should be. And then we hide a multitude of sins concerning one another. But what do? We then really portray one another greater than we truly are, because we will not show that other side. How is that now with the Lord? Is it possible for a man to portray Him greater than He really is? No, everything that is not said of Him, every error which is made of Him, that only brings Him lower. That is, that the Lord, He cannot be made or esteemed higher than He is. Because He is the highest, because He is perfect. Thus, God will be worshipped how? He will be worshipped according to who He truly is in His being. How do we know who He truly is? We know that only out of His Word, which speaks of His perfect holiness, His perfect righteousness, that the Lord is absolutely just, that He is at the same time merciful, that He is long-suffering, and so on. That we must know then who that true God is, that we may approach Him as He is, and that we may acknowledge Him as He is. We read, for all things He hath commanded us to ask of Him. that is, for great riches in this world? No. That is, that we may be honored in this world? No. No, those are things that we are not commanded by Him to ask of Him. But our deceitful heart, that will try to ask it of Him anyway. James, he says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Oh, how deceitful is our heart. And our fathers, they say that it must come from the heart. That is now the reason that the Lord said to Isaiah and to Jeremiah, He says, pray not for that people. I will not hear that people. Why? Because it does not come out of their heart. How do we know it? Well, it was because those people, they were walking in the way of disobedience. Thus, they were walking in the way of sin. What do we read in Psalm 50? That the Lord said unto the wicked, what hast thou to do to take my covenant in thy mouth? When you want to go in the way of sin, and when you do not wish to leave your wicked ways, and then you want to try to ask of me blessings, I will not hear you. Does that mean, then, that we must have first forsaken our sin before that a man may attempt to approach unto the Lord? Cannot be. What man could ever pray? Because what man can forsake his sin? And the Lord, He says, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners. But He is come to call the sinners to what? He says, but sinners to repentance. Thus, those two things, that supplication, that cannot be without that repentance. It cannot be without that sorrowing heart. That is not a heart that says, I am still a sinful man and I therefore may not pray. No. But that is a heart that is grieved with that sin that is still cleaving unto it. Therefore, we have that second requirement, that is humility. But let us sing first. 88. The Lord I will at all times bless. In praise my mouth employ. My soul shall in Jehovah boast. The meek shall hear with joy. And what follows all stanzas of Psalter 88. Secondly, that we rightly and thoroughly know our need and misery, so that so we may deeply humble ourselves in the presence of His divine majesty. Thus our fathers, they say that we must approach unto Him not only as He is, but that we must approach unto Him also as we truly are. Paul, he says that a man ought not to think of himself higher than he ought to think. That is what we did in paradise when we have lifted up ourselves before the Lord. But even before the fall, how dependent was man upon the Lord in everything? But how much more after the fall, when he has come in his need, when he has come in his misery, and when he is now standing in his complete helplessness. How shall that sinful rebel now approach unto the Lord? Should he approach with his demands, if he would be heard? Or must he approach then as a beggar who was heard, that Pharisee who said, Lord, I thank thee, I am not as other men, or that publican who smote upon his breast and said, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Thirdly, that we be fully persuaded that He, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it, will, for the sake of Christ our Lord, certainly hear our prayer as He has promised us in His Word, notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it. And our fathers, they say that we must be fully persuaded of this, that the Lord, He will answer that prayer, notwithstanding our unworthiness. Oh, that felt unworthiness, that is often the greatest hindrance to God's children in prayer. That felt unworthiness that is so often causing that people to waver. But James, he says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea tossed with the wind. Let not, he says, that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Thus, when that church that is hindered in that approach unto the Lord by their own unworthiness, then they have lost sight of something. And what is that? Then they have lost sight of the foundation of prayer. Then they have lost sight of that only reason that the Lord has ever answered a single prayer. That is why, boys and girls, every time when we pray, and then we are taught to pray in Jesus' name or for Jesus' sake. Because when you will leave that out, then there is no foundation for your prayer. There is no reason that the Lord, He says, that He can answer your prayer. Thus, it has nothing to do with that worthiness of the creature? If it did, there would not have been one prayer answered ever since the fall. What brings that people, notwithstanding their unworthiness, what is bringing that people to approach unto the Lord? Though that they are unworthy, and that they though feel that unworthiness, that they say, I do not deserve it. Why do they come there anyway? Well, it is because the need that is pressing them and that is overcoming, as it were, that unworthiness. They come anyway. Why? Because they cannot do without it. Esther, she said, I will go in unto the king, and if I perish, I perish. That woman with that issue of blood, she felt herself so polluted. But there was only one opportunity. And when that opportunity was lost, then it was gone forever. Thus, that was that need that was pressing. Who has felt more his unworthiness than that thief hanging next to Christ? He could not pay one farthing. He could not even make an attempt to pay it. His life that was at an end. And everything was sin from the bottom to the top, from the beginning to the end. But he saw this, what our fathers are speaking about. He saw by faith the foundation of prayer. And when he saw the foundation of prayer, and then he said, Lord, remember me. Our fathers, they speak about the duty to prayer. But that is a people who say, what a wonder that we are allowed to pray. That we may pray. Because we are not different than the devil in his rebellion. But there is for him no place for prayer. Finally, what hath God commanded us to ask of him? Answer all things necessary for soul and body, which Christ our Lord has comprised in that prayer he himself has taught us. The Lord's Prayer, that will now be our subject of consideration for the rest of these Lord's days, that was taught to the disciples upon their request. And when they said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. Paul, he says, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And therefore, that is a wonder in the life of God's children. And when they may experience that spirit that helpeth our infirmities. And when he makes intercession for the people with groanings which cannot be uttered. A wonder to a people who cannot pray. Why is prayer often so difficult? Prayer is often so difficult because we do not dwell so much in the need. Because if there is need, then prayer comes. Right, children? When Peter, he is sinking in that water, then prayer was there, wasn't it? Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Solomon, he knew, he felt his lack so that he could answer the Lord even in his sleep. In his sleep. That the Lord came to him in a dream. What shall I give thee? and he knew the answer, then he did not need to think about it for a day or for a week. No, but he could answer the Lord because that need that was living within his heart. Or it is in their wants that the Lord, he is hearing from his people. Because when there are no wants, then there is not so much communication from the earth to heaven. But it is now in the wants of the body. O Lord, what profit is there in my blood when I should go down to the pit? The wants of the soul. Deliver my soul, O Lord. All things. All things necessary for soul and body. All things for which we are dependent upon Him. Oh, that we would feel it more. Our dependence upon Him. Because when we would feel more our dependence upon Him, then our inner chamber, that will be occupied in a close life. A close life. Is that not something? Is that not a blessed thought to have a close life? Have you desire that you may have such a close life? Close to the Lord. And that notwithstanding that we are unworthy of it. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou grant us to know our need more and more and our misery, that we may also draw nigh, that we may approach unto thee. Teach us to pray and forgive all that is amiss and sinful in thy holy sight. Bring us safely home, and wilt thou be with us in the rest of this day. Strengthen thy servants, the student also, who brings thy word in this day also, in this evening. And wilt thou grant thy help from above. Keep us in this week. Bring us together. And when we hope to gather on the last day of this year and in the first day of the new year, wilt thou bring us together. Give us a desire that we may approach unto thee. In all our needs, wants, and cares, we ask it in the forgiveness of our sin. For Jesus' sake, amen. 112:2-4. Withhold not thou thy grace from me. O Lord, thy mercy let me see. To me thy loving kindness show. Thy truth be still my stay. Let them preserve me where I go, and keep me every day. 2 and 4 of 112. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.